We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
This is our God of Fun series. Amen. Have y'all been having fun in this series? Yeah. I have. It's been great. And I'm excited to be a part of it. I've got a message that I'm very excited about. I just got back from vacation. I wrote it before vacation, but I got it here in my trusty Duotang folder, and I am ready to... Okay, we're okay. I got it. It's right here. Sorry. Yes, we are ready to preach today. Are y'all with me? In case you hadn't picked up, we are having fun. This is meant to be amusing. For this week only, it's okay to laugh in church, all right? It's all right? Yeah, okay. Don't make it a habit, but we're having fun today. It's okay. So, this is our God of Fun series. This is our fifth week of the series. So let's recap real quick what we have talked about in this series. Let's go backwards. We always recap and go, week one, we talked about this. Let's start at week four. What did we talk about? I wasn't here. I need your help on this one. We were the real deal, Shaquille. That's right. I was all about Lucille. Sorry. That's right. Okay. The real deal, Lucille. We want to make sure that we are getting authentic fun and joy that's found in God alone and not in the things of this world that the enemy tries to tell us are real fun but leave us empty and hollow, right? Amen. Okay, the week before that, we talked about the punchline. Pastor Chris did a great job talking about the punchline. Our faith, God's word, is not a punchline. The enemy is the punchline. He's the joke. He's the one going to be made a fool of. But our faith in Christ, it's not a punchline. It's for real. It's the real deal, Lucille. Amen. So the week before that, we talked about God's commands. God's commands are not meant to be heavy. God commands us to have fun. All right? That's something to be excited about. When somebody tells you to do something that you want to do anyway, that's great. Yeah, when my boss gives me an assignment that I would like to do anyway, I'm all about it. I'm zipping off before he finishes the sentence. God commands us to have fun. And in the first week, we talked about the God of fun, that God created fun. He created us with the ability to enjoy things and to laugh and to smile and to find things funny. We worship a God of fun and enjoyment. Amen. Hallelujah. That's something to be happy about. All right? I hope you're having fun in this series. So, to go back to that second week where we were talking about God's commands. God's commands aren't meant to be heavy. God commands us to have fun. Pastor Chris also started to talk about how our perception shapes our reality. Our perception is our reality. If you perceive that God is just a stern, harsh God, that's kind of going to be the reality that you live in. If you perceive that pizza's nasty, then when somebody offers you some, you're going to be like, no, it's nasty, and you never try it, and you miss out on what God has to offer. I wanted to revisit that a little bit this week. Our perception is our reality. And I'd like to teach you a new vocab word. This is one of my new favorite words. Everybody say it with me, all right? The word is fungible. Fungible. All right. In case you're ever on Jeopardy, I don't know what game shows require you to know. If you're taking the SATs pretty soon, this could help you out. All right. Got you covered. Fungible. The Internet Dictionary says fungible means able to replace or be replaced by another identical item or something that is mutually interchangeable. Okay? I learned this word from my dad many years ago when I was a kid. He taught me the word fungible because I had some money that I'd saved for my allowance. I was saving up for some toy that cost like $16 at the time, because that was big money back then. And so I only had like 5 or 8. And I knew myself well enough to say, I'm probably going to spend this. If I just keep it in my pocket, I'm going to end up spending it on something. And my dad said, well, let me help you out. You give it to me. I'll hold on to it until you get the rest of the money saved up. And then I'll give it back to you so you don't accidentally spend it on something else. And that sounded like a smart plan. My dad's a smart guy. So I gave him my $5. And then that same day, we were out to lunch or something, and he opens up his wallet and he gives him my $5 bill. And I was like, whoa, Dad, what are you doing? That's my money. You can't spend that. That's I gave that to you to hold on to. He said, don't worry about it, son. Money is fungible. And I was like, yeah, but that's still my $5. And he's like, no. See, money just represents value. I've got $5 that I can give to you anytime you want. It won't be the exact bill, but money's fungible. It's interchangeable. If I give you 5 ones or a whole bunch of quarters, but it's worth $5, it's all the same. It's still $5. You don't need that particular bill. Money is fungible. Let me tell you about something else that's fungible. Reality is fungible. Yeah! All right. Thank you, Pastor Chris, for making that sermon note slide. Reality is fungible. This sounds like sort of a crazy thing to say. Reality is interchangeable? Yeah. In a way, that's what we've been talking about. We perceive the world around us as being a certain way. But we can interchange that, we can exchange that for a better or a worse reality. All right? I could live in a reality where I go to Redemption Church on Sunday afternoons just out of obligation. I got to be there. I got stuff to do. Or I could exchange it for a reality where I go to Redemption Church because I love it there. I love the people there. I love doing the stuff I do there. I love worshiping God, and I'm excited to be there. You couldn't keep me away unless you sent me out of town, all right? So in lots of different ways, we can exchange our realities. The problem is a lot of people are willing to exchange their reality for a worse one, just to for a short-term gain, the fake deal, Lucille, like we talked about last week, or they're willing to exchange their reality for a worse one just to be able to drag other people down into it. But we can exchange our realities for one that's better, one that's better than the one we had before. You can make your world better, and by doing so, you make everybody else's world better. So to illustrate this, I have something to give you all. It's not as good as key lime pie. Pastor Chris knew that key lime pie is one of my favorites, so he gave it away the week I wasn't here. It's all good. Don't worry about it. No, but we got, if our ushers would go and bring up, we got clothespins. Yeah! I'm glad to see y'all are excited. I want everybody to get a clothespin, okay? Everybody got, don't miss the ushers. Everybody get you a clothespin. It's important. But I'm going to need these back at the end of the day because we're planning on doing laundry tomorrow and this is our dryer. So anyway, no, make sure you get a clothespin. A lot of people accept the reality that they're in. They got something that's bothering them, something that's not as good as they would like it to be, something that's plaguing them, something that's they just wish was better. You see this? Okay, quick caveat. Redemption Church does not endorse you pinning the clothespin on yourself. Any injuries are your own fault, and please do not pin it on anybody else. Thank you. But a lot of people live in a reality where Something is bothering them. Something's not right. But we just accept that that's the way it is. And that's how it's always going to be. Yeah, no, that's just it. And as much as possible, we like don't show it off or let talk about it or let people know about it, because that's the way it is. And they'll just either make fun of it or they might try to take it off. But no, you can't take it off. It's on there. That's the way it is. I don't want other people to know about it. I don't want people to know I'm having trouble. I'm just going to keep it that way and live with it and deal with it. That's my reality. Reality is fungible. This could be a lot of things. This could be an addiction that you're dealing with. This could be a persistent sin problem in your life. It could be any number of things. You know you'd be better off without it. You wish it wasn't there. You know your family would be happier if that wasn't there. But it's there, and that's just how it is. Well, let me tell you, that's not how it has to be. You can exchange this reality for something else, all right? You can take this reality. You can take this problem. To the cross. And you leave it at the cross. Jesus will take that problem. Jesus will take that. You got to admit it and say, yeah, I got this problem. But you know what? I don't want it anymore, Jesus. And he's willing to take it from you. You can exchange that reality today.
That's good.
Amen. Man, I'm so excited that we saw not one, but two baptisms today. Are y'all excited about that? Praise God. Y'all watching online, you didn't, hopefully we'll post those videos. But man, there was a party here today and in heaven that two young men got baptized. That's awesome. Hey, but they didn't just get baptized. Praise God. They funged their reality. A lot of times in life, we got a whole bunch of these things sort of clinging to us. You know, that's just how it is. But when you get in that water and you are buried with Christ in baptism, that water can wash some of these things away. They float off. And when you rise again, you're set. They're gone. You can exchange your reality. If you haven't been baptized, please consider it. Talk to us about it. You out there, if you are interested in being baptized, please let us know about it. We love it. We'd love to be a part of it for you. I've been thinking a lot about dreams. Dreams are weird. Have you ever had a dream that you were convinced was real? And then when you wake up, you're still like operating under the rules of that dream or the thing that happened in that dream. It's like it's still happening. Dreams are weird. When you're in the dream, you just accept whatever comes into your brain. Okay, suddenly I'm back in school, and it's exam day. Oh, man, this is bad. But it just is. And I'm naked. What is going on? Well, I don't know, but that's how it is, and I got to figure this out now. I don't have that dream exactly. I do have lots of dreams where it's exam day, and the test is today, and I didn't study at all, and I got to do something, figure it out. And then I wake up, and it's still exam day in my mind. I got to study. I don't have time to stay in bed. I got to get up and start cramming for this exam that's coming up imminently. Nah, that's one reality. And when you wake up, you exchange it for the waking reality. Well, if you're holding on to this, to problems and things, that's like living in the dream world the whole time. The enemy tells us crazy stuff. Now, going to church is a waste of time. Fellowship with your fellow believers, that's a waste of time. It's never going to get better. It's always going to be that way. You can't do anything about it, and you better not let anybody know about it. No, that's not true. That's like accepting the weird dream reality and saying, nope, it is exam day. I got to take a test today. I haven't been in school for 15 years. It's not test day. No, I'm not accepting that reality anymore. You have the ability to change your reality. It's about what you accept and who you accept. This is a powerful idea. I know it sounds crazy, but you have the power to change your reality. I try to change my reality all the time. I'm the care pastor here. That's partly why I got the haircut. It provides an extra test to see if you really need help. If you're willing to talk to me now that I look like this, then I know you really got an issue. You really got a need. Just kidding. I can tell you the whole story later. It's long. But we have the power to change our reality all the time. I want to live every day. I get up and I want to change my reality into one where the kingdom of God is stronger, is more vibrant, is bigger and at work even more in the world around me. Every day, I want that to be the reality that I go to bed in that night. Yeah. It doesn't always happen, but I try my best to make that my reality every day. And you have that power too. Just by reading God's word, you can realize new things about God. It can change your reality. Sorry, it's hot up here. So don't be afraid to change your reality. Don't be afraid, Pastor Chris. All right. Don't be afraid to change your reality. Because it can change God. We worship a God who created everything. There is nothing that he can't affect. There's nothing that you can lift up to him that he can't deal with or change or make better. Now, you may say, not to nitpick, but I heard about this guy named Saul or Paul, and he had one of these things. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed about it, right? 3 times. But it was still there. He couldn't change his reality. It's not true. You see, before, he was just a guy with a thorn in the flesh. He just a guy with some issue. But in his own words, after praying about it, he realized he lived in a reality where there was a God with him whose grace was sufficient to help him handle that, to deal with it every day, to keep moving on and keep sharing the gospel. His reality was changed. This thing might not physically go away, but God changes realities. A lot of times, our reality is shaped by just what we see, right? You look at other people, and let me make it personal. I look at other people, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, that guy, he's probably not going to respond real well to an offer to pray for him. I'm just going to keep moving on. Or that lady over there, she looks busy. I shouldn't reach out, you know, with a word of God, you know, it's probably, hey, you look at me, you probably wouldn't realize I'm a care pastor. You can change the reality you live in and recognize that every single person you see every day is a child of God, is made in the image of the living God. They are a living soul that God wants in his kingdom, and that if they don't know Christ already, their reality could be changed unbelievably. And you have the power to help make that change just by reaching out to them. All right? So change your reality. Change how you perceive the world around you. Speaking of how people look, how do you picture Jesus? Pause for a minute and think. When I say Jesus, what mental picture comes into your mind? They say everybody sort of pictures him like themselves a little bit. We got some very standard pictures of Jesus. I remember in Sunday school, we had this picture up on the wall. It wasn't quite like the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. I think he did have blue eyes, but it was just a long hair, beard, in the white and blue robes, just making a very somber, prayerful face. And so that's kind of what I picture sometimes when I think of Jesus. Would you ever picture Jesus looking like this? I love that picture. Do you ever picture Jesus laughing? Can you imagine Jesus Christ just busting a gut, just laughing out loud at something that he just finds hilarious? Jesus laughed. It's kind of a shame that one of the most well-known verses that talks about Jesus' emotions is Jesus wept. We know he wept, but he was human. He experienced what we experience. And I don't know if there's a person out there that never, ever, ever, ever laughed, ever, in their life. There might be. They're going to message us on the anonymous text line. But Jesus laughed. I'm convinced of it. He had fun. Jesus is a fun guy. Not a fun guy. He was a fun guy. A guy that had fun. A guy that was fun. Jesus put the fun in fungible. All right? How about that? He changed people's realities all the time. He still does. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Clap your hands if you know that's true. He did. We can go down the list, and we don't have time to cover them all. He took fishermen and made them fish for men. All right? He took scruffy fishermen dudes and scruffy guys and tax collectors, uneducated men, and he made them his disciples. He made the hated and the outcast become the beloved of God. He gave people new names all the time. Your name is this? Well, I call you this. He turned water into wine. He turned wine and bread into flesh and blood. He turned the invisible God into a visible person of flesh and blood that you could see and touch and talk to. He made the king of all creation into a servant. The Lord of everything, the most powerful being in the universe, became a suffering servant. And the immortal God died on a cross. But that wasn't the end of it. Because he was dead in the ground. And that was reality. And then 3 days later, he was alive. And he's alive today. We lived in a reality where people don't come back from the dead. They do now. Because of him, he changed that reality. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Speaking of water to wine, Pastor Chris mentioned that story last week. He went to a wedding at Cana and turned water into wine. Jesus was a fun guy to have at parties. Yeah. Right? He was. The Bible tells us about it. He went to parties, so much so that he was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. Yeah. He People wanted him at their parties. And he would go to the rowdiest ones. He would go to parties held by people that didn't get invited to other parties. But he'd go and hang out and have fun. Because Jesus wanted everyone included. He was willing to party with absolutely everybody. And that reminds me. I had a friend who was threatening to call me during service while I was preaching. Let me see if he's available. Oh, don't hear his number. Sorry. Sean, this is Marshall. I'm calling you during my sermon. Here at Redemption Church, they'd love to see you again, man. We want you included in the kingdom of God.
Yes, Sean.
Amen. Take care, buddy. Bye. All right. We want everybody included. We want your friends included. Here at Redemption Church, but in the kingdom, all right? It doesn't matter what people look like or if they're very well-to-do or not well-to-do. Mohawks. Yeah, Mohawks are welcome. They are? Sweet. All right. Jesus wanted everybody included, and he would go to parties with the outcasts. One of these stories is in Luke chapter 5, starts in verse 29. Then Levi, who was a tax collector, held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Tax collectors weren't real popular back in those days, you understand? They kind of worked for Rome, and they were viewed as like traitors and cheats and crooked, hated people. Well, Jesus went to a party full of tax collectors. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" But Jesus answered them. They were trying to talk behind his back. They were like, went to his disciples, why is he hanging out with these people? Jesus heard it, and he turned around. Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Ouch. I don't know if that qualifies as a sick burn. Chris got my pun. But man, that's a sharp word. That's not like, ha 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 ha, that's so funny, Jesus. But man, that's a pretty, like, woo, retort. The sick, the well don't need a doctor. The sick need a doctor. I've come to call sinners to repentance. If you don't realize you're a sinner, then go away. I'm here to minister to people. I'm bringing the word of God, just like you Pharisees are supposed to be doing. I'm where you're supposed to be. Jesus is a fun guy. Not always for the Pharisees, but for a lot of the people hanging around him, Jesus was a fun guy to hang out with. And Jesus is a funny guy. If that's not your perception, then you need to change your reality. Jesus laughed. It doesn't say those words together in the Bible, but I'm convinced of it. Jesus told jokes. Are you aware of this? Jesus told jokes. Matthew 24:16. Knock, knock. No, just kidding. That's not what it says. Jesus told jokes. First, just in some of the ways he interacted with his disciples. When Nathanael was called, Jesus met Philip, his brother, and said, "Come and follow me." Philip said, "Let me go get my brother." Philip went to his brother Nathanael and said, "Hey, we think we found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth in Galilee." And Nathanael said, Nazareth? Has anything good ever come out of Nazareth? Oh, well, I'll go anyway. So then they come back and meet up with Jesus. And Jesus knew he said that. He didn't know Jesus knew he said that. Jesus could have responded a lot of ways. He goes, hello, Nathanael. Been to Nazareth lately? Has anything good come out of Nazareth? But no, he says, behold, a true Israelite in whom there's no deception. He's not saying, man, everything this guy says is true, but he's saying, like, here's a guy who's willing to speak his mind, who won't hold back on what he thinks. And that's an awesome response, and it's kind of funny that that's how Jesus would respond to Nathanael's statement, has anything good ever come out of Nazareth? Hey, man, I'm glad you're willing to speak your mind. You want to come along? That's awesome. Jesus, I mentioned before, Jesus gave nicknames. You know my favorite nicknames in the Bible? Yeah! He had these two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Now, we don't know a whole lot about James, but we do know about John. He wrote the book of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He wrote the book of Revelation. And one of the hallmarks of his writings is love. Love, love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life. Perfect love casts out all fear. They will know you are my disciples by your love. Love runs through all the books that he writes. And so Jesus gives him and his brother the nicknames Sons of Thunder. That's crazy. That's a silly nickname. There was the time he offered to call down fire on some people, but in retrospect, looking back, that's a funny nickname for a guy who later came to realize how great God's love is. And the ancient word for it is Boanerges, so that's just funny on itself. He calls Peter, Simon Peter. He says, you are Simon, I call you Peter, the Rock. Dwayne, the Rock, Peter. I call you Peter, which is a hilarious nickname for the guy who's like, I'm going to cut this guy's ear off. I don't know that guy. I'm going to jump out of a boat. Oh my gosh, I'm sinking. Like, he was all over the map. He was not a rock. A little girl says, hey, weren't you one of his followers? And he loses it. He starts cursing. No, I've never seen this guy before in my life. That's the Rock. That's who Jesus calls the Rock. That's a funny nickname, y'all. You don't have to amen me. I know what it is. People say I got a weird sense of humor, but no, Jesus even, like, kind of told jokes. He calls the Pharisees blind guides, which is sarcastic to begin with, but he says, you strain out a gnat. Like when you're eating soup, you'll filter out the tiniest little speck and then swallow a camel. Which is a funny thing to picture. Somebody swallowing a camel whole. And then one time, the disciples of John the Baptist come to him and were asking, hey, are you the one we're looking for? Are you the Messiah? Or should we be looking for somebody else? And so he kind of confirms, I'm giving sight to the blind and preaching freedom and so on. So then, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John the Baptist. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? He's asking them, do you know about this John? Why did you go out to see him at the Jordan River? What were you looking for out there? Did you want to see a reed in the water? Oh, that's stupid. You could see that anywhere. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. These are funny things to say about John the Baptist. who wore camel hair and ate locust fruit and honey. He was not a man in fine clothes. So Jesus makes these sort of absurd comments. There's one time, one account of the feeding of the 5,000. I really like this one. So the crowd, the multitude is gathered on the hillside, and one of his disciples comes to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, you ought to send these people away. It's getting late, and they're going to need time to go into town and get food. There's a lot of people, and they're going to be real hungry. So you ought to tell them you're dismissed." And so Jesus looks at him and says, "Why don't you give them something to eat?" There, I heard a laugh. That's funny. Because the disciple kind of loses. "What? What are you talking about? There's like 5,000 people here. What do you want me to pull out of my pocket? I ain't got enough food for half these people. Jesus, what are you talking about?" And then Jesus says, "It's okay. I know what I'm doing. Let's feed these people." And he feeds the 5,000. See, the thing is, Jesus was a funny guy. If you don't perceive that, you need to change your perception, because Jesus is either a funny guy that said funny things from time to time, or he was kind of this spacey, very stoic, out-of-touch guy. "Well, why don't you give him something to eat?" I don't think that's what Jesus was like. No. He knew what he was doing. And he had fun. I can't believe that he hung out with these 12 dudes for 3 years and they never cracked a joke, never picked on each other, never laughed together. All right? Jesus even told jokes in his sermons. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 37. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." This sounds like a weighty sermon. This is a good word. Next verse. "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap." That's a funny mental picture. That makes me think of the guy that can't hold all the limes. Like, give, and it's going to be given to you, but so much poured out, you can't hold it all. It's because with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the pit?" Remember earlier he called the Pharisees blind guides? That's not a politically correct thing to say. And Jesus loves blind people, all right? But it's still a funny mental picture that you got a blind guy leading somebody else. You know what's going to happen, right? Slapstick comedy, courtesy of Jesus. "The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. So don't be like the blind guides. Listen to me and be like me. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" Now this is comedy gold. If you picture it, that some person starts coming up to you and they got this plank of wood hanging off their eye, and they come up and they're like, "Hey dude, it looks like you got a little piece of sawdust in your eye. Hey, can I get that for you? Hey man, it looks you got a little, let me get that little piece of dust right there. Is that an eyelash? Here, come here. Let me see if I can get that out." That's ridiculous. But that's what we look like when we're telling other people, "You're not doing it right." But we've when we're not doing it right either. That's great. How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a good word. Matthew 11:16-19. "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces, calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.'" Like, this is a funny, it almost starts to sound like an insult comic, but Jesus was willing to call out hypocrisy when he saw it, and do it in silly ways, exaggerated ways. Again, the words of Jesus in Matthew, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" That's funny. When he calls out, "Hey, this guy didn't eat or drink, and you said he was possessed. When I do it, you're saying I'm a glutton and a drunkard." Which one is it? But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Amen. So, Jesus told jokes, all right? I hope I have established that for you. And then you might say, well, okay, maybe that's just pre-crucifixion. Nope. Another one of my favorites. Afterwards, after Jesus was crucified and buried and rose again, Peter was having trouble processing or figuring out what he was going to do because he had betrayed Jesus. And so one night he says, "Well, I'm just going fishing." And so some of the disciples came along with him, and they all went out on the boat. They had a night fishing trip. And so in the morning, as the sun was coming up, they hadn't caught anything. They'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. And then they notice somebody on the beach. And the person on the beach calls out, "Children, have you got any fish?" That's awesome. Because it's Jesus. And he knows they ain't got no fish. But he tells them, "Hey, cast your net on the other side of the boat." And they do. And they pull in this miraculous haul of fish. And because of that, they realize that's Jesus. But the other hilarious thing is they struggle and haul this big net full of fish onto the beach. It was even breaking, so they couldn't put it in the boat. They bring this heavy net full of fish up onto the beach because Jesus asked if we had any fish. And they get there. He's already cooking breakfast, and he's already got fish. Jesus! Jesus was a funny guy. Humor changes over time. Humor's a funny thing, not in the ha-ha sense. It's hard to nail down. But it's a part of us. We laugh. We were built to laugh at things. One of my favorite memories was the first time my son Lazarus laughed uncontrollably. He was like less than a year old. And I'd put him in his car seat, and for whatever reason, I'd sort of bounced the car a little bit, like I stood on the door frame and then stepped back off, and it made the car sort of wobble. And he thought that was hilarious. He lost his mind. He just started giggling and laughing, and it was so cute. And I'd never seen him laugh, big belly laughs like that before, just from bouncing the car. I don't know what was funny about that. But something in that brought him joy, and he laughed. I didn't have to teach him how to laugh. We laugh. We find things humorous. Humor's hard to define. It changes over time. Nowadays, a lot of times, we exchange jokes in the form of pictures that we share on Facebook. They're often referred to as memes, like this one that kind of defines most of the things I do. I have no idea what I'm doing. Dog at a computer. Sorry, Joseph. I know it's not the dankest meme. We got to keep it low-key for the normies. So nowadays, this is how we tell jokes. The form's different. But some things are timeless. Some things are funny, were funny, will remain funny. America's Funniest Home Videos has been on the air for almost 30 years. Yeah, shout out. And it's all just dogs and cats like falling off of things and then dudes getting hit in the privates. That's all they show. They've made 30 years out of that because it's funny. But even back further than that, there's jokes that have been around forever. There's stuff that's funny. I don't even, it's supposed to be funny. Maybe it isn't even that funny. Banana, oh, throw the banana peel. Somebody else. Slipping on a banana peel. In the right context, that's funny. And that's been around before Mario Kart. All right? You can go back to like plays of Shakespeare and people are having miscommunications and thinking one person is another person and saying the wrong thing, and it's funny. And these things, sometimes it's hard to recognize the humor in some of the things Jesus says, especially if you don't perceive him to ever be humorous. But it's there. And even more, God invented humor. God built us to laugh. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, joy should be a part of your life. Right. Does God laugh? Yes. There's an old saying, you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. That's not in the Bible. But Psalm 2, verse 4 says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them, and them are the people who think they can undo his plans, who think they can overthrow his kingdom and his children. Nah, God laughs. God built us to laugh. If you don't realize that, then I encourage you to change your reality today. Let him change your reality. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. That's true. But change your reality. Take heart and recognize that I have overcome the world. I've told you these things so you can live in a reality where you have peace. Let that be your reality today. Who bet on end of the service for me mentioning John 16:33? Who had that one? I got the gift card right here. We'll figure it out afterwards. Actually, no, you know, I'm willing to give, I do have a McDonald's gift card. I'm willing to give it to anybody who can remember the memory verse from last month. John 16:22. It was just a couple verses earlier in the same chapter of the same book. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. You might be in a time of grief right now, but change your reality. Open your eyes to recognize that he's coming back and he will bring joy. We will rejoice and no one will take that joy away. The king's coming back. He wipes away every tear from your eye. He can take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He can change your reality today. He takes our ashes and gives us joy. He gives us a brand new life in the waters of baptism. And if we're willing, He will put a new spirit, His spirit, in us. Are you willing to let Him change your reality today? At the end of service every week, we invite everybody to come forward and spend some time talking with God. That's where we're at right now. These altars are open. I encourage everybody to come forward and talk to Him. How can He change your reality for the better? If you're dealing with something, if you've got one of these things, if there's something bothering you, plaguing you, He doesn't want that for you. I invite you to come and turn it over to Him symbolically by clipping it on the cross. Give it to Him. He wants your reality to be free of whatever it is that you're dealing with. Talk to Him about it. I hope you know you live in a reality where you can talk to the living God of all creation, and He hears you, and He sees you, and He loves you. If you would like special prayer today, just stand within 2 feet of the steps, and part of our ministry team will be happy to pray with you. But if you don't want anyone to pray with you, just stand back a little bit, and nobody will bother you. But please.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.